Whenever you're ready, Chairman.
All right. Then we'll go ahead and bring to order the regular Planning and Zoning Commission hearing for October 11th, 2022. And start with roll call.
Chairman Lee Young.
Present.
Vice Chairman Dana Hennis.
Present.
Commissioner Tyson Garten. Commissioner Jenny Greger.
Present.
Commissioner Jim Main.
All right. And then first up is our consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Then first up under public hearings, we had case numbers 22-02-CPF, 22-05-ZC for a rezone, 22-06-SUP, and 22-27-DR design review for a recreation subdivision in Robinson Ranch RV storage. Staff has requested that this table or this item be tabled to a date uncertain pending additional review. So there's no target date in the future. You just have to be renoticed. Is that the?
For the record, Jessica Reed, Planner Q, 751 West 4th Street. As of right now, working with the applicant and their architect to work through some Ada County Highway District right-of-way. And so until we were able to work through that, then I will not have a date. But yes, you are correct. I will be renoticed for the site, the website, the newspaper, and 300-foot mailers.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move we table case number 22-02-CPS, 2205-ZC, 2206-SUP, and 22-27-DR until a date uncertain.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Excuse me if I can interrupt for a quick moment for some technical items.
I see another. Might not coming through. So.
Thank you, Chairman.
Then next up, we have case numbers 21-03-AN and annexation, 21-02-S, 21-10-DR design review for Sadie Creek South subdivision. And this staff has requested that this item be tabled to a date certain of January 10th, 2023, pending additional serviceability review.
For the record, again, Jessica Reed, Planner 2, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. Yes, sir, that is correct. Applicant has requested to push out to January so they can work with our Public Works Department regarding water and sewer.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move we table case number 21-03-AN, 21-02-S, and 21-10-DR for Sadie Creek South subdivision until a date certain of January 10th, 2023.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Then next up we have case number 22-09-SUP, a special use permit for the Hawk substation.
Hopefully you don't get sick of hearing my voice. Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Planner 2, Jessica Reed, standing in for Doug Hansen, 751 West 4th Street in CUNA. Idaho Power Company requests special use permit approval to operate a substation. The subject site is located at 15450 South Cloverdale Road. The 3.11-acre site was created by a lot split approved by CUNA City Council on June 21st of 2022. The applicant will be required to return for design review approval for the site design and landscaping. And staff has determined the applicant's special use permit request is in compliance with CUNA City Code Title V Comprehensive Plan and Idaho Code. Staff recommends the commission approve the special use permit with the applicant being subject to the conditions of approval listed in the report, as well as any additional conditions designated by this decision-making body. And I will stand for any questions along with Morgan Treasurer, our Economic Development Director.
Okay. Are there any questions for staff at this time?
No.
No? Okay. Then is the applicant here as well?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, just please. Mr. Porter, just name and address for the record, please.
Thank you. Jeff Mafucci with Idaho Power. Address is 1221 West Idaho Street, Boise, Idaho, 83702. And maybe we can zoom back a little bit. I appreciate everyone's time tonight. I'd like to do a presentation on this project and the purpose of it. But first, I'd like to kind of cover how some of our facilities that you see out, how they relate to each other. So typically, we have a pretty typical utility pole here. This is off State Street out near Star. But what you have on top, there are three sets of, you have a set of three wires on top. That's our transmission line. It's a 138 kilovolt line that serves a lot of these types of substations that then serve our communities. So a substation is like a connection point, right? It's an off-ramp for the transmission to come in, and then we have distribution lines on that middle level that go to serve communities, customers, residential developments, agriculture, et cetera. And, you know, in a lot of those newer subdivisions, those lines become underground. And then we have other utilities that are on our poles. We try to share poles with communication, fiber, not really telephone any longer, but, you know, telephone, et cetera. And those are the really, you know, we think of them like they're the big, ugly lines that you can see more prevalent. But we do try to share poles. That minimizes the some of the viewshed impacts along the roads. So with that said, so we're talking about a substation tonight. Again, bringing in power from the transmission that's along Cloverdale Road and then bringing distribution out to customers. So the objectives of this project are to meet the growth demands with the new substation. This Hawks substation was originally identified in 2012 in our Eastern Treasure Valley Electric Plan, which we'll revise next year. We're currently, today we had a meeting for the Western Treasure Valley Electric Plan, so that's kind of the Canyon, Payette area. But this was identified in 2012, and we originally planned to construct this in 2026. We're looking to start construction, if approved later this year, have it in service early next year. The growth has been immense, and really the challenge is to get transformers and to get all the materials necessary to construct these facilities to serve customers, has put us on the back of our heels. The other objectives are just to minimize the impacts of surrounding properties and neighborhoods. I understand a utility facility is not the prettiest thing. We try to take some measures as best we can. But as a utility provider, providing electricity to our customers, the station is really intended to improve our reliability and the resiliency to customers. And I'll share what I mean by that in a second. But then also just to provide for the increasing electrical needs in East CUNA area, Southwest Ada County area. As a regulated utility, we're obligated to serve customers regardless of their size, their stature, et cetera. So we look at this kind of Southwest Ada County, and these are substations in the area. We have Columbia Substation we recently constructed last year off Meridian Road across from the Lyman College to serve a lot of the strain that we were seeing from CUNA Substation just south of downtown and other substations in the Meridian area. Primarily serving a lot of, Cloverdale, Columbia Road South and East is our Mora Substation. Hubbard is a transmission station with the transmission lines going in and out. And then even our Gowan Substation up near the airport serves some, parts just beyond the CUNA city limits. So as you can see, we kind of break it up by feeders, right? So distribution lines going out, we call them feeders. And so customers in this area pretty far south are served by the CUNA station, along with, you know, the downtown, the core area of the city. The Columbia station is served by, you know, folks up here, North CUNA, South Meridian, and you can see this huge area that's served by the Mora substation. So, again, Mora's up here, and as you can imagine, as you get further away, there becomes reliability issues and challenges. Then we have some customers served by the Gowan. Again, that's pretty far from that substation. And so what we're looking to accomplish is, with this new Hawk substation, is to split up a lot of the Mora feeders, as well as some of CUNA. And not, we're not necessarily going out to, we'll be building new distribution lines over time, but we're looking to connect the Hawk substation with existing distribution lines that come out of these substations. So that's that resiliency part where we're providing like a you know, kind of like a loop feed, right, for customers. They're served from either direction, but most of that load would come from this Hawk substation. So that's kind of the background, how we try to analyze and look for the opportunities and how we can provide solutions. And being a utility, our solution to improve services is to build or rebuild or replace facilities. In this case, the Mora substation, it's built out. Same with the CUNA substation. It's a small property, again, just south of town here. There's not much more we can add into it. And even if so, going from CUNA or Mora all the way down south, you know, several miles, we begin to have voltage losses on the lines. So over the past year, we looked for opportunities to site a location. Again, no site's the best site, but we tried to be as least impactful, working with a landowner that was willing to sell a quarter of their pivot. And then we wanted to be along existing utilities corridor. We have transmission here that we'll tap right into. So we're not running new transmission line for this station. And then again, it's in that box I just showed you, right? It's in kind of where our electrical engineering planners look for the best opportunity to site something. And this considers the future growth of the area. And by having it right off Cloverdale Road, we can minimize the amount of construction traffic that we'll have during an approximately 6-month construction period. So the site itself is, the whole property is 3.11 acres. But really, when you include setbacks, we're looking at about a 2.5-acre project site. This is designed to provide 80 megawatts at build-out. 80 megawatts is close to 30,000 homes or 80 Walmarts. It just gives you the idea of a long-term benefit from this station, right? It'll be there for a long time, and it should solve a lot of issues for a long time. The yard itself will be a gravel surface, so stormwater drainage will be retained on site. We'll have slatted fencing with side obscuring vegetation, berming, and I'll share a rendering of that. Our tall structure will be approximately 45 feet, so when you have a I'll show it in the rendering, but when you have a transmission line, you connect with that line, and so that's what we call a dead-end structure. That's approximately 45 feet, which is quite a bit lower than the transmission line itself. And then this will be a secured site. Idle power will access it during operation. So we had some public outreach. We held a public meeting back in late June. We had three folks attend. We didn't receive any formal comments, but we did have some concerns from folks in nearby residential developments about the view shed impact. So we took some additional effort to include additional landscaping, vegetation, gravel berming, slatted fence, to help offset those issues, and then further setbacking off, you know, on our property, so it's not as close to the road. Again, we shared some additional material, you know, how Idaho Power receives its generation, which is becoming a challenge more and more over time. Again, the existing transmission line, which is the 138 line. And, you know, really just, I guess, look and the feel. At the time, we didn't have some of those additional visual mitigation measures, right? We were just kind of our basic build. We were sharing that so we could get some feedback on what we could include. Again, our construction, we're expecting to be, if approved, start this winter, which is next month, and then be able to have this in service, have everything electrified by the beginning of summer, so June 2023. This was a, we have a better rendering. This was before we added the vegetation, but we want to have about a 4 foot tall, you know, rock, small rock, gravel berm with some native species along top of those berms and then some native tree types along the outside. And so this is really big. Okay, there. So we have some, again, some native species types, low water use. This is that dead end structure with the with the transmission line coming off from the side, just out of view. But you can go out and see the existing transmission line right now. And then some grasses interspersed, right? And so this is, we expect, it's hard to model what native vegetation might look like, but we expect these grasses will grow a little bit over time. And then let's zoom back in here. So in preparation of our application, I better hurry up. I guess in preparation, and to summarize, growth is driving this, the need for this station. Again, with the detriment of not doing this is reliability, resiliency, impacting existing customers as well as those new customers. There's no additional cost borne by the public for this. This is part of our budgeted process to build this station, and there'll be no any additional undesirable effects. Noise is always a big concern, and the transformers are under 40 decibels. From Cloverdale Road, I went out with the noise measurement the other day, and it's 67 decibels standing off Cloverdale Road, so it won't increase the noise levels in that area. And there'll be no additional odors, fumes, vibrations, et cetera. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the applicant at this time?
No, not for me.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Then we'll go ahead and open up for public testimony at 6:21. And I've got the sign-in sheet. I don't have anybody that marked to testify. Just to make sure, is there anybody here that is not signed that would like to testify on this application? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and just close the public testimony at 6:22. And that brings up our discussion on the substation. And I don't know if we want to go first, but I don't know. To me, it's kind of straightforward. It's much needed for the growth that's happening all across the south end of Kuna out there.
Yeah, especially with that area not having the best reliability at times, that will improve to that whole end of town. I think it'd be a good addition. I don't really see too much that I'd be concerned with. I mean, in seeing Gesundheit, seeing some of the other ones that have grown in the area here and been, they're not real obtrusive. You know, they're just, you know, they don't really block out a lot. You know, I think if with the mitigation that they're talking about with the landscaping and the berm, I think it'll kind of make it more or less disappear as best they can. But I think it's just, unfortunately, one of the infrastructure needs it is needed out that way.
Yeah, I totally agree with what Dana said.
Okay. Then, yes. Stand for that motion.
In that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 22-09-SUP, the special use permit for Hawk Substation, with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. Then up to the agenda. Next up, we have case number
22-11-SUP and the coal substation for Idaho Power.
Hello again, Commissioners. Again, for the record, Planner 2, Jessica Reed, standing in for Doug Hansen, 751 West 4th Street in CUNA. Again, Idaho Power Company requests special use permit approval to operate a substation. The subject site is located at 14550 South Cole Road. The 10.29-acre site was created via a lot line adjustment approved by CUNA City Council on September 20th of 2022. Landscaping and site improvements were approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission as part of case number 22-05-DR design review for Project Peregrine. Staff has determined the applicant's special use permit request is in compliance with CUNA City Code Title V, Comprehensive Plan, and Idaho Code. Staff recommends the Commission approve the special use permit, with the applicant being subject to the conditions of approval listed in the report, as well as any additional conditions that you may choose. And we will stand for any questions.
Okay. Any questions for Jessica?
I don't have any at this time.
Okay.
None at this time.
Then, well, please just state your name and address for the record again, please.
Okay. Jeff Mafucci with Idaho Power, 1221 West Idaho Street, Boise, Idaho, 83702. So this is a little different animal. This is a... the result of Project Peregrine. We're calling it our coal station because it's located off South Cole Road. So this will be the difference. Well, I guess we'll just go through it here. So this was to connect with nearby transmission lines and to provide 220 megawatts to the Meta's data center substation. It's to meet the regulatory obligations that we have to provide electrical service to all customers within our service area. And we work to minimize impacts to surrounding properties by constructing within their data center campus. So back to that middle point, this is completely funded by MEDA and it's reviewed at the state level, and so there's no cost borne by existing Idaho Power customers for this facility. And we call it a switching substation or switching station because we don't have any transformers on site. We're basically bringing in the transmission and putting it on switches, breakers, and then putting power over the fence to the customer's transformers, and then they distribute it out onto their facility. So it's a little different animal. But as you can see here within MEDA's facility, we're up in the upper northwest corner on this yellow box. And their substation, per this rendering, is right here. Again, another map of this. I can zoom in here. So within this parcel, our approximately 10-acre facility is here, and then we'll go across the fence, hook into MEDA substation. So we'll have metering because we want to, we need to get paid for the power we're selling them again, so it doesn't become a cost to other customers. Related to this it will be a transmission line. We'll come back at a later time. We're working through, we're waiting to see if this property right here is annexed by CUNA. If not, we'll go to Ada County for that permit. So the product features, again, it's approximately 10 acres. Like the other one, it'll be a gravel surface with all the, engineering components inside. Because this is part of MEDA's campus or Project Peregrine's campus, they'll be taking care of the security fencing, landscaping, main access points, with gates into our station only accessible by Idaho Power. So again, we had a public meeting back in late June. We had two attendees, again, but no formal comments received. And so we talked about how we'll obtain generation, the transmission, purpose of the transmission line, and then serving the station, serving with 220 megawatts, which is an immense power need. So similar construction as the Hawk, partly because trying to take the opportunity with contractors ordering materials to have this completed by June of 2023. And so this is a transmission that will be coming in. This is a product down south of Twin Falls. You can see this switching station in the background. This is actually meant for a solar facility, so we do have experience building these types of facilities. Here's a little closer up. Those dead-end structures with transmission and then just a switching apparatus inside the station. Obviously, Twin Falls County doesn't require much in the way of landscaping. So we'll, you know, they'll be a little bit better along the fences for this one. So again, in review, this facility is necessary for Idaho Power to meet its obligation of providing electrical service to the data center that was previously approved by the city of CUNA. This location was the most viable option, really the only option that we were given by, you know, MEDA to serve this customer. And again, there is no additional cost borne by the city, the county, or Idaho Power customers, which are also your taxpayers, for this facility. There are no transformers, so there's really no, with respect to noise always being the, you know, largest concern beyond visual, there's no transformers, so noise is a mute issue. With that, I'll stand for any questions.
Are there any questions at this time?
No.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, we'll open the public testimony at 6:30. And I don't see anybody signed in to testify on this application. Just to make sure, is there anybody here that would like to testify on this application who's not signed? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close the public testimony at 6:31, which brings up our conversation.
Well, again, I think, you know, I think it's something that's definitely necessary. It's, you know, this one's at least tucked back away from really anything within, you know, the new meta project there. So it's probably a little less obtrusive being tucked away on the part of the facility than the normal. So I can't think of anything else that would be a concern of mine. It's still just trying to serve the customer.
Yeah.
Yeah. No additional comments.
No. No, I agree. There's not really a better place to put that downside. So,
did you have? Did you want to testify?
Yes.
Is it possible to go ahead and move forward with reopening the public hearing, Andrea?
Yeah, I'll do that. We'll just reopen the public testimony at 6:32, and then if you would, that's the right one. And if you would just state your name and address for the record, please.
Sure. Heidi Peterson. I'm at 1142 East Whitetail Court, CUNA, 83634. I'm just curious, and I don't know a lot about this project, but I'm curious if there is any way we can have more solar as a part of the project and why that hasn't been more investigated. Or if it has, maybe I'm not aware.
Okay. I'll let the applicant answer that question, but I don't think that solar could even come close to supplying enough power for the facility. The amount of power that they're bringing in is huge. But I think the applicant could probably, when he rebuts here, he'll be able to come up and answer that formally for you.
I'd be interested. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Then we'll have the please come on back.
Okay. Jeff Mapuccio, Idaho Power, 1221 West Idaho Street, Boise, Idaho, 83702. I know everyone cringes when I say Boise, so I do apologize. There's a joke. I was up in Caldwell, and the mayor of Greenleaf's like, we put a sign out that says, no one allowed from California, Utah, Washington, Oregon, or 1A. I know we're all in A County still, but that was funny. To answer your question, I don't have all the details of the agreement with MEDA that was approved by the PUC, but a lot of it had to do with us obtaining clean energy such as solar. So that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to build solar or obtain it right there on site, but there is our solar product being worked on elsewhere in the state that we'll be able to pull from. With respect to like the Hawk substation, that's an opportunity to connect future solar facilities, but like there is just to the west of this MEDA site, you know. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't completely have all the details, but part of MEDA's request was that we serve them with clean energy such as solar. And, you know, where that solar is, I don't entirely know.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, we're happy to follow up if I can get your information. Thank you.
Okay. And then with that, we'll go ahead and close the public testimony at 6:35. And it comes back to us. And I think, as you already started to, or began to state, that at the north end of the site, that I don't know that there's anything between there and gravel pits to the north. Mm-hmm. There's a solar station about a half mile away, and another solar station that's south of Cunamora Road that's probably about 2 miles from there, but I don't know that they would directly supply this facility, but they are popping up out there. Mm-hmm. But as far as this application, I think it's needed, and it's I don't have any issues with it. Any other thoughts? Concerns?
No. In that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case number 22-11-SUP, special use permit for the Cole substation, with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Motion carries. Thank you. So, next up on the agenda, we have case numbers 22-06-S, preliminary plat, 22-26-DR, design review for the Belzer Rock subdivision.
Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Troy Behunin, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, Planner 3, Senior Planner, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA. The applications before you this evening are from SH69 North, LLC, and they are the applicant. They are present this evening. The applicant is requesting to subdivide approximately 24.56 acres into 74 total lots, which includes 53 residential lots, 10 commercial lots, and 11 common lots. The land within this application was annexed and properly zoned in August of 2020. Tonight's application is for preliminary plat. For the preliminary plat is for technical compliance only, as it follows the comprehensive plan and it follows the zoning that was awarded in 2020. According to Exhibit 2.18, the Public Works staff states that this project is located within Danskin Lift Station Basin. Sewer service for Belzer Rock Subdivision Phase 1 will be contingent on the successful completion of the 18-inch Danskin Sewer Force Main Project. Staff has reviewed the preliminary plat for technical compliance with CUNA City Code, the CUNA City Comprehensive Plan, the future land use map, and the design review for compliance with CUNA City Code and Idaho State Statute 676511, and finds that both appear to comply with all of the codes. I will sit for any questions that you have, and the applicant is present.
Are there any questions for Troy at this point?
No, not at this point.
I had a question regarding the private street in that subdivision.
So
they talked about, could you clarify that a little for me?
Perhaps during the presentation from the applicant, okay. He can cover it.
All right.
But yes, that is something we can definitely discuss.
All right, thank you. And then as a relatively new commissioner, I keep hearing when the Danscan 18-inch project is done, and when do we anticipate that to be done?
So for the record, Troy Behunin, Planner 3, Senior Planner. I actually had a conversation with Paul Stevens, the city engineer, just this morning, and it is slated to begin construction in late February or March of 2023. But for further clarification or for further details, the city engineer would probably be the best resource for any additional questions.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, and just for your information, the timeline for construction should be between 45 and 60 days.
Well, that was a lot shorter than I thought. Okay. Are there any other questions for Troy? Okay, then we'll have the applicant, please. Just state your name and address for the record, please.
Good evening, Commissioner Young, commissioners. My name is TJ Angstman. I reside at 88 Golden Bar, Donnelly, Idaho, 83615. And I'm happy to be here today before you on this project. This is the second time we've been here. We went through the project when we were zoned. Well, I guess that was with city. Maybe we were here too, yeah. And so I'm really happy to be here and go through it. And I think I can help answer some of the questions. I don't see, this looks like the old project, or the old, there we go. This is there we go. Thank you. Scroll. So Commissioner Greger, I think if I go directly to your question about the private driveways, if I can get to the map down here, a private street, I should say. There are two sections that we're proposing would be private. I think it's in here. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's better. Sure. Thank you. So there we go. I'll probably zoom in again now that we see what we've got here. And I'll rotate it. So here's the project, and we have two private streets proposed, and it's in accordance with ACHD's comments. We have this is a private drive right here through the neighborhood. It's through our commercial access, and so our users are going to be the ones putting the burden on that. I know that neighbors will be able to drive through there as well. We're not restricting it. There's no way to restrict it, and we're not going to attempt to. But that will be private. Then we have a little tiny one right on this box where my mouse is. And so the ACHD doesn't want to have these hammerheads on their own property. They want the hammerhead portion to be on a little private substreet. So we're proposing that little section right there to be basically a private drive that access for two of the buildings, and then this main corridor through the property will be private as well. We think that'll look really nice, and we're looking forward to I didn't do that. I guess I did, but I didn't mean to do that. I do want to point out that although we were approved for R20, and we did have designs initially thinking we would utilize the full zoning. We designed and built or planned to build to half the zoning that was approved. So it's R10. I think it's just slightly over 10 per acre, like 10.1 or something. And that was a good compromise that we had to, we decided to make and had to make, thinking about the proximity to the other neighborhood. We wanted it to be, we would have had much larger buildings to build at R20. They would have been three stories and intrusive coming out of the neighborhood next door. So it was a good compromise, and we think it actually makes the project nicer. And so in consultation with the neighbors, that are, we've had a couple neighborhood meetings, I think two or... We did have these drawings at our meeting. Maybe this looks a little different now because of the way it's connected to the other maps and such. But this is the this design has been our design now for 2 years. So now one thing I did notice in the staff report that I just want to address, my understanding is that the pathway system is on the south side of the canal. And so some of the comments in the staff report about the canal easement or whatever, that's actually on someone else's property. It's not on our property. We have the center line of the canal north, and the pathway will be built on the other side, the south side. Really, I don't have a lot to add now. It's a nice development. We have a mixed-use plan that has storage facility on this parcel. We have 10 commercial lots that will be for anything from medical users and restaurants and other office users, potentially a filling station on the corner here if there's demand for that. My understanding of the timeline is that the sewer project will be completed probably before our final hearings in this, because we won't have our city council hearing until December. And then my understanding is after that, for our plan review, it's a 4 to 6 month process right now to get the plans through and approved for construction. So probably the earliest we could build this is next May. And that's if everything goes well. And usually something doesn't go well. But we try to make it go well and smooth. So with that, I guess I would stand for questions and address my comments to any concerns.
I do have a question on the storage units.
Yes.
They're all single level. There's not any multi-story.
That's correct.
Well, any kind of...
That's correct. Just what you see, the typical, standard. Not the two-story, like, office building look or something. It's just these are very low-rise buildings, aluminum construction, steel.
Yeah. And same with the houses on the rear side. Are those slated to be single or double story?
I think those are two-story. Most of them are two stories. There is quite a grade separation between the neighborhoods. So, the neighbors are, most of them are, I shouldn't say most of them, if they didn't count, I don't know. But many of them are two-story, and some of them are... on the northern half here, some of them are single on or south, but I think on the northern side they're two stories. But we think that it's going to be really a good fit with those homes, especially considering what the alternatives under R20, we could have had three-story buildings that would have had, you know, nearly 110 units on that property. So we have 53. So...
Okay. I have no further questions.
Any other questions at this time?
Covered it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Right. And we'll open the public testimony at 6:48. And I have a list, and most have signed not to testify, but there are several that did not check either box. So I'm going to ask Jack Culver, did you want to testify or?
No.
No? Okay. Then there was another one I saw, Lynn McKean.
Yes.
Okay. If you'd please just come forward to the podium and state your name and address for the record, please.
And were you testifying? On neutral. Okay, gotcha. There we go. Marked it. Thank
Hi,
you.
My name is Lynn McKean. I'm at 1230 East Fort Erie, and it's the street that I see on that. This is the first time I'm ever seeing this picture. So I have a couple of questions. I'm not sure why these two places of residence need to connect. Okay, I have that question for sure. And considering that East Fort Erie then becomes to me this runway for people to go ahead and do restaurants, food, shopping, get to their homes, and there's about 20 little children that live on East Fort Erie.
Ma'am, if you could speak into the microphone so we have it on the record, please. Thank you.
20 little children that live on East Fort Erie that use that road every day for their little ride on their bicycles, to play in the street, to play their games. And I'm not quite sure, the way I look at it on that map, if you were in that area and you were, that just becomes to me like this main street for people to get to restaurants or shops or whatever else is planned for that area. I'm not quite sure why those two divisions even have to be as one connector. Why can't everyone that lives in this new division just go out onto Meridian Road? Like, I'm not sure why there's a cut through.
Are those two streets already marked to say it will be extended in the future on your side?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay.
So I'm not quite sure why that is, because it seems like it's a good area for people just to zip around in. And so I don't understand why this division has to do anything with our division at all. They can certainly have roads to get out. So that's all I have to say.
All right.
So I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So I'm not sure who answers that question.
Well, I can start, and I'm sure the applicant will finish up. But those stub streets in your subdivision are planned that way. So as subdivisions and properties develop, future developments offer connectivity through the city, and you don't have one dead ends all over the place. It offers that connectivity, and that was intent and a requirement from Ada County when your subdivision was built.
All right.
Yeah, it's required by ECHD is the gist of it, unfortunately. But yeah, they do a lot of interconnection that way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I did not see anybody else listed to. Oh, I did. I did miss the first one. I was looking down the list. I'm sorry. Glenn Stratinger, please. If you would. Sorry about that.
We got to watch him every once in a while.
Be at the end of the alphabet.
I know how you feel.
Hi. Thanks for giving me a chance to speak. My name is Glenn Stratinger. I live at 876 East Whitetail Street, Cuna, Idaho, 83634. So I want to preface my comments with, you know, as much as the Sterling Ranch would love to say, okay, nobody can build anywhere around us anymore, I'm sure the rest of Cuna felt that way when Sterling Ranch was built. We need to accept development. It's going to happen around us. But it's important that we do the development correctly so we don't have negative impact to existing infrastructure. So my two big concerns is we have a 50-some-odd unit with, you know, 2.3 people per unit, so 100-some-odd people. Bottom left-hand corner, excuse me, right-hand corner of the residential area is a very tiny little area of grass. Other than that, there is essentially no play space for 100 kids, 50 kids. So I'm curious what the plans are for what these kids are going to do other than ride up and down the street. And as a previous speaker noticed, there are two streets straight into Sterling Ranch. Sterling Ranch is an HOA subdivision. We do have some HOA-built, maintained playground areas. and don't want to be elitist, but if we're paying for those, we really have an issue with all the neighborhood kids just rushing over and using that space. There's a note from the neighborhood meeting that was held back February 24th, and it mentioned that, you know, children in one community may develop friends with the others and can visit the amenities. So, again, what is this housing development doing to address the needs of the local families is question number one. My other big concern is traffic control through the whole region. Looking at the traffic study that was in the packet, you know, the left turn lane from Deer Flat onto northbound Meridian is already overloaded. With especially rush hour traffic on Meridian Road, turning left out of Ardell is going to be all but impossible and definitely unsafe, especially at peak hours. The traffic study mentions that they expect about 440 cars outbound per hour in the morning rush hour. So how are those 440 cars going to get where they're going safely? And then the other, again, concern with traffic through Sterling Ranch, I'll wrap it up quickly. If they can't get out on Ardell, are they going to try and go through Sterling Ranch? Again, kids are going to school. It's a, you know, people rushing to work. Then they'll get on Deer Flat and further overload the left turn lane on Deer Flat. So those are the big concerns in this short period. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And I do not see anybody listed or marked as marked to testify. Is there anybody else here that has not signed that would like to testify on this application? Okay. Any yes. Anybody else? Okay. If you can come forward, please, and then just Jessica, thank you.
Thank you. I don't have my glasses. Do I go over here? Where do I sign?
You as well, sir? Okay, if you would go ahead and sign in now, if you would. Okay. While they sign, yes, please.
Yes. Susan Peterson, I live at 1320 Sweet Pearl in Kuna, 83436. I just moved into the house yesterday. I've lived in Kuna since February, but I just moved into this house yesterday night. So, I have to keep it straight. When I went to, my friend went to both. I was only able to go to one when this was presented. And my concern was, at the time, the lack of the grass for those kids and the pool. There's no place for them to play except coming into Sterling and using our pool, which, and then we become a community pool, which we're not. I mean, you know, we're not city-sponsored. We have problems now when people jump the fence and use the pool. And liability-wise, it really makes me nervous. So if you have a subdivision coming in there and doing that, you know, it just increases the amount. If the kids make friends and invite them over, that's great. They're being invited. I'm more concerned about any – we've had vandalism in our pool, too. So, yeah, and that in the grass. I just don't see anything for these people there at all. And I think that's that if you're going to live in a house, you ought to have something. Yeah. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you. And Jessica, could I get that sign-in sheet back?
Sorry.
No. Thank you. Okay. Then, where am I? Toby Robinson?
Yeah.
And it looks like there was another person that signed in a few minutes ago, Lauren and Lewis. Newmark, not to testify. Did you?
My wife. I
my dad.
You do? Okay.
I signed in this on the other side.
Okay. Just making sure I'm
nope, you're good.
Getting it right the first time this time. Okay.
All right. Am I on?
Okay. Yes. Just state your
Toby Robson, 1795 North Firebrick, CUNA, 83634. Two questions. I was hoping when you get a chance to come back, if you could just talk a little bit more in detail about what the current plan is for each of these things. I know that you guys have been over this before, but when you say 2.3 in units, I'm unclear if it is multifamily. I'm unclear if these are single family homes. And then maybe just a little bit more of a detailed tour of what is exactly going on. I wasn't able to attend the previous meeting, and just a little bit of clarity. So, the second thing, in response to the community sharing of things like pools and parks and stuff like that, I live in Crimson Point. It was the first community that had a pool here in town, and I can tell you that crossover and use from adjacent communities is significant. We have 650 homes. There's a new subdivision that's 240. The free use, unauthorized use, is a problem. I don't know as a developer what you can do about that, but the concerns of the homeowner in terms of the bleed over is real, just through experience. And I served on the board there for 5 years, twice. So anyway, that's all I had. Mostly the questions about the detail of the setup.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Lewis? Please just come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
Louis Veal, 1329 East Timber Trail Drive, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. Two questions, basically about the storage units. My property, if you look at the map, is a flag lot that butts up to the canal and your C2 property. Okay. Is your storage units going to be 24 hours access? Is it going to be, what's the lighting going to be? My bedroom window is going to look right down on your storage units. What's that going to be looking like? Are you going to have a sound barrier wall? And your access to the storage units looks like it's going to be coming in off Fort Erie and or Meridian Road. Those two, depending on where you put the entrance to your storage units. What's kind of paint a picture what that's going to look like? Because obviously if it's too noisy, I'm selling my house. I don't want no part of it. So, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And that is all that I see that had signed in to testify. So, scan one last time. Okay. And seeing none, then we'll have the applicant please come back.
T.J. Anksman, 88 Golden Bar, Donnelly, Idaho. So I have, I'm going to try to address these. I think we did handle the stub street issue, the commission did. We certainly negotiated and tried to negotiate to eliminate one or both of the stub streets. We don't disagree with what your thoughts are, that we could have served this without them. But Ada County Highway District has a policy. It's in the staff report. It talks about it in detail. Of interconnectivity, it creates shorter trip lengths, which is good for the environment, and it makes it easier to deliver mail, they said in the staff report. It makes it easier to get in and out in an emergency. We thought we could close at least one of them, and we wanted to. There's some savings to us in doing that, but we weren't able to convince ACHD to allow that at all. In fact, if there was another one, they would have required us to use it too. So I don't disagree with the comment on that at all. Why connect? That's why we connected, because they said we had to. We do meet all the requirements for open space for the residential part of the development. Each of these homes will have a backyard. That's where the kids will play when they're not sneaking into the neighbors and playing. And I find some humor in this because I guess you could tell your kids not to play with the kids from this neighborhood. But the reality is they're going to play with their friends, and sometimes they're going to be over here. They're going to be riding their skateboards on our streets, hopefully not when there's traffic, and hopefully it's safe. And you know, we've tried to design it in a way that is safe, and we think it'll be a great addition to your neighborhood, because you will have shorter trip lengths for you to get services that we'll be providing in the commercial part of our neighborhood. And that's why CUNA adopted the mixed-use zoning ordinance that we fall under. We had to have two separate uses, a commercial use and a residential, and we created three uses. So we hope that the issues that were raised here would be able to be addressed maybe with locks on the pool area. I'm assuming it's locked already, so that, yeah. Yeah. Well, then I think that's a policing issue, and I think.
Parenting issue?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, folks, ma'am. Guys. We can't get it on the recording if we're.
It's okay. So I just think that's going to be an issue, and it has been an issue everywhere probably, and it's part of it is about being, you know, part of the community. And so maybe we're going to have a homeowners association as well. So maybe the associations can have a meeting and try to find a way to keep that sort of thing from happening. You know, we don't want the kids getting picked up by the police and such, and I'm sure you don't either. So but there's a good chance that there's going to be people on our streets as well. My guess is if we put a traffic count in, they're going to be using our access out to Ardell more than people from here will be wandering through their neighborhood. But that's just part of the whole concept of interconnectivity. And I think in most regards, it provides more benefits than it does provide problems. I heard someone talk about, I can't remember which person said it, but that talked about the Ardell left turn. After these subdivisions are built, this one and the one on the other side of Ardell, when that intersection's improved, the highway ITD says that they're not going to allow a left turn onto Ardell any longer. So, you know, once the full development of both parcels happens, there's not going to be left turns there. You're going to have to take a right, or maybe you have to cut through our neighborhood and go out to get to Deer Flat through the two parcels here. Now, as far as a little more detail on what we're doing, I do have those kind of sheets in here. So let's see if I can. So I don't know the size of these. So. I've got it here. So I'm going to zoom in so you can see the configuration of these buildings. So these are 3 and 4 unit townhome buildings. So you have three units in one building space, and then 4 units, and then 4, and then you can see as it goes, there's a duplex type building. And so that's how it lays out, and so we didn't want to do just like one long row house, because by having the buildings have a break between them, it does create some vision corridors and allow light through, and so we think it's a pretty nice design. And there is quite a bit of open space in these corners and around the cul-de-sacs, and it'll be fenced, so. There is areas where the kids can play just besides in the backyards. It's certainly not as luxurious as the big backyards in the neighboring subdivision, but there are backyards, and I know where my kids were born while I was in law school, and we lived in an apartment in Moscow with half the size of that backyard, and my kids still found a way to have a really good time, and they did have a good time. So let me show you the layout of the storage as well. That's, I think, the next sheet. Here we go. Now, I don't think, as far as we're talking about this flag lot right here, That's in the very back, darkest corner of our development. The only people that are going to be ever visiting there are the ones that are using it, because there's no way to get there without starting way over here. This is where the control access to our storage is, right here at this main corner. And so people will come in through there, and then they'll access their storage units. I don't think that it's going to be a 24-hour access, but people will be able to come in and out, and maybe we will have, you know, evening access. You know, there'll be a gate that's controlled by the code, just like the other developments. May I conclude here? Do I have enough time to conclude? Thank you. So I think that in terms of noise, first of all, it's a very low density type of use. People are not visiting. Some of you in this room have storage units. You probably visit them once a month. And so with the amount of units that we'll have, it's far more noise going to be from the commercial area where there's hundreds of people visiting every single day. These are going to be, it's a very low noise and low density type of use. So I don't think that it'd be something that I wouldn't go sell my house. I'd prefer this to apartments for sure. The lighting. So these are single story, and there will be some lighting, but all of our light will be on the shining towards our buildings and towards our property. We're not going to have, in the dark sky ordinance, we're not allowed to flood our lights onto your property. So we'll be using a dark sky type of lighting that doesn't light the sky and doesn't spread the light onto the neighboring parcels. So I think that, you know, I think you're going to find this to be a big asset. If you have the need for storage, it'll be a walking distance, and it's like an extra car garage on your garage. And if you need, you know, there will be fast food, there will be sit-down restaurants, there'll be banking, there will be, we expect to have a dentist. There may already be a dentist coming on a neighboring parcel, so we may not get the dentist, but there will be a dentist nearby. And I think there'll be an opportunity for the people in the neighboring subdivision to have goods and services, you know, within walking distance. We hope to make this walkable and safe, so that even the children could ride their bike and go to the store, and it would be a safe environment for any user of those roads.
Thank you.
Stand for questions.
Is there any questions for the applicant at this time?
I have one. In some of your open space, is there enough towards the, I believe it's the north end, would there be enough space to put at least a tot lot where you have at least a smaller playground set?
Probably on the southern end, we might be able to do some sort of playground in this area, but I would have to consult with the engineer, because he may put a swale there or something to retain stormwater.
Is that swale at the south end of the property?
That's on the south end.
Block 3, lot 4?
That's right. And I without consulting him, I'd hate to make any,
But we will see the tot lot in.
You think we can do that? We have room for it? We can put a tot lot in if it's required of us.
Yeah. We'll figure out Okay.
There you go.
I just had one question with regards, I don't know if you can see it. Yeah, for instance, right above your stub street there, there's that kind of trapezoidal.
This one?
Yeah. What is that?
That's just a common lot.
Open space.
Okay, because it doesn't show on the landscape plan as anything other than a 855-square-foot block. So that's why I was trying to figure out what it was.
I see. Well, no, we're not having the homeowners' homes go to the edge of the street. We're putting something so that we can have the association maintain a nice look and feel to it.
So that'll be like a grass area?
A grass buffer, yeah.
Okay. So there's a couple more of those on there that...
there should be one in a couple other locations as well.
Right, there's about three or four of them.
That's right.
So it's just the retention area on the south would also have grassy swales.
That's right. And we're trying to keep... We want to keep the control of the streetscape as much as we can for the association.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, and I think you addressed it. The units themselves are townhomes. They're not like apartments. They're not fourplexes.
They're individually
individually sold townhomes.
Individually platted and owned townhomes. We expect there would be a lot of demand for these. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And with that. I'm sorry, I already closed the, well.
No, Andrea Nielsen for the Audible Record. I watched this, several individuals raised their hand. However, I also heard the chair ask prior to the rebuttal whether or not there was additional testimony. There was a significant pause, and there's a procedure for a reason, and there's also an additional opportunity for the public to provide testimony to the City Council prior to final plat approval. Thank you.
Then I'll close that public testimony at 7:15, which comes our discussion.
Well, I mean, overall, I think the use of this, like what was presented in the previous sessions, I like the idea of the townhomes versus the apartments that were originally there. I think the overall plan with the transition with the self-storage to the commercial, I think ultimately that will be kind of a quiet area. It would probably be a good area. You have a long drive out to that side. But I think the only concern I really have on this, like it's been voiced, is amenities for the kids to play at. I mean, we don't have really a park in there, but if they are willing to put a tot lot in there and we're going to grass out those other two areas, or the other three areas in the swale, which weren't indicated on my landscaping plan, I think that's at least some decent mitigation there. Gives them some areas, gives them a tot lot. You know, hopefully that'll keep them into their into this little subdivision, instead of venturing off into the neighbors. But I think overall, I mean, the commercial layout on it, I think, is good. It's transitioned from the other subdivision.
Yeah, I think coming off of Meridian Road, and it's kind of following the intent of having mixed use in that corridor with the commercial and then transitioning with a little denser residential. I like that it's not R20. I think it softens the transition from the commercial space to the existing residential there. It seems like I think they're at least on some of the properties to the north. There's retaining wall and a height difference already between them and the proposed townhomes. But I haven't been at my storage facility at 10 o'clock at night. I have been there at 8 o'clock, and I was the only one there. But I don't know what that – I can't say that's going to happen to anybody else. But I agree with the need for a tot lot for the residences, or the residences, or I can't even talk today, the people that will live there. other than the tot lot, I think I don't have any other issues with the way it transitions or the way it's laid out.
No, I appreciate your willingness to put in a tot lot. I understand the neighborhood's concerns, but when you look at this what's along Meridian and what might possibly go in along Meridian Road, I think this is a really good answer, and I really like the private lane where you're not each commercial lot will have its own driveway and you're not driving through parking lots to get someplace. I really, really like that.
Concerns, comments?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Then
in that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval to the City Council of 22-06-S, excuse me, for the preliminary plat for the Belzer Rock subdivision with the conditions as outlined in the staff report and the additional conditions that a tot lot gets added into the residential area and the landscape plan reflects the additional grass areas that were talked about at the south end and along the side streets, a little trapezoidal blocks that are along the stub streets.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend, all right, sorry, we approve 22-26-DR design review for the Belzer Rock subdivision with the conditions as outlined in the staff report and the additional conditions of the addition of the tot lot and the landscape plan to reflect the additional grass areas at the south end and along the stub streets. Sorry.
I second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Motion carries. All right. Thank you. Give a second for those who want to exit, and then we'll go to our next case. Okay. Then next up, we have case numbers 22-01-CPM, 22-03-ZC, and 22-02-S, along with 22-28-DR for design review for CUNA Apartments. And Troy.
Good evening, members of the commission. For the record, once again, Troy B. Hunan, Senior Planner, Planner 3, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA. The applications before you this evening have been submitted by Mark Hampton, who is the applicant. The applicant is requesting approval to amend the comprehensive plan map, which is also termed the future land use map, the FLUM, from commercial to high density and to rezone a combined approximately 8.93 total acres from R6 medium density to C1 neighborhood commercial to R20, which is the high density residential, and approximately 2.88 acres from R6 to the C1 zone, and request preliminary plat approval to subdivide the same lands into two buildable lots with an accompanying design review package. According to Exhibit 2.20, the applicant has approximately 186 prepaid equivalent dwelling units, which are termed EDUs, available for this property. The total projected EDUs is approximately 193. The city can service up to 186 EDUs. Additional EDUs may become available once the 18-inch Danskin force main is complete. Emphasis on may. Staff has reviewed the proposed comprehensive plan map amendment the rezone and the preliminary plat for the technical compliance with CUNA City Code and the design review for compliance with CUNA City Code, Idaho State Statute 676511, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan and the flu map, and finds that both appear to comply with the codes. And staff will stand by for any questions that you have. The applicant is present tonight.
Okay. I do have a quick question. As far as the capacity, we say, I mean, it sounds like you said may have. I would be very hesitant to say, approve something with a maybe. Is there anything more that the city engineer can?
Only what's in, I'm sorry, for the record, Troy Buchanan, Planner 3. So only what's in their record, which was submitted as Exhibit 2.20. So realistically, they're short seven EDUs, which in the grand scheme of things, they already have 186 that are prepaid. So they already have those connections buttoned up. They're solid. The other seven, I was just reading what the engineer had in his report or in his memo. However, I don't think that seven connections is a significant concern.
Okay. Thank you. And then I think there was a late exhibit that Morgan wanted to read into the record as well.
Thank you, Chairman. For the record, Morgan Treasurer, Economic Development Director. My apologies. I was traveling, and my memo went into the ether instead of to Troy's email box. Is there anybody in the audience? I do have copies so that we're compliant. I guess I need one so I can read it. Planning and Zoning Commissioners, before you is a proposed change to the City of CUNA Comprehensive Plan map, a rezone and preliminary plat for the CUNA Apartment Subdivision. This parcel sits off State Highway 69 behind existing commercial development. Based on the surrounding retail users, the lack of visibility and the proximity to a traffic corridor that can handle a larger demand, a high-density residential use would be appropriate in this area. Since the initial development of this land, the trend in retail development has shifted from large, high-square-footage retail shopping centers to a mixed-use model that integrates shopping services and residential in a single location. This rezone would bring the western side of Highway 69 more in line with that model of development. Area businesses are struggling to find employees and are looking to the city for solutions. Providing more workforce housing options, especially in our current market, which is at a 1.6 vacancy rate, where a 5-6% vacancy rate is considered healthy, could be part of the solution to keeping CUNA a great place to do business and growing our commercial and industrial base. As a general rule, the Economic Development Department seeks to preserve as much commercially zoned property as possible, but in the case of this parcel, would agree with a future land use map amendment and a rezone. The size and location of this parcel will make an appropriate place for high-density residential and create an area on the western side of the highway that is more compatible with the current market demand for mixed-use residential retail development.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Troy at this time?
No.
Okay. Then if the applicant please come forward. Or...
Chair, Commissioners, good evening. Mark Hampton, representing the applicant. Address is 11716 South 7th East in Draper, Utah, 84020. Thank you. That was, I think I should just say amen to you. This is why, that's exactly why we're before you. And I hope you had a chance to read the letter from the landowners and the multiple tries or continue trying to make this a commercial application behind in the receiving end of the Ridley store there. So we think this is a great application, a great use for this, a great the highest and best use. Just to point out a few things that you probably already know, hopefully you've caught this. We're asking, we think the density there with this new zoning would be 192 units. We're asking, or we're providing, for those 192 units, 516 parking stalls, which is 2.7 stalls per unit, with 3.25 acres of open space, including clubhouse, pools, and a lot of place for our children to play, so we're not hopping the fence of the townhomes and stuff. We've also noticed on the EDUs and the subject of being able to utilize the utilities, especially the sewer, our neighbors to the west of us are more dense than us with the cattle they have, and they're not even tapping into the sewer. They just let it flow on the ground to the west of us. So we're a little bit concerned about that, but not to the point where it's causing us to be concerned that much. Maybe. Part of the, I just want to comment on some of the staff reports, some of the reports that we got. One of the engineers said that this project may require 1,800 lineal feet of upgrade of the sewer, and I failed to make a note of where exactly that was. We've got estimates for that, and we are in agreement to install that sewer upgrade, so the site, so then our capacity then would be handled by the existing utilities. The other comments about the widening of Sailor Avenue, we're all in agreement. Everything that we found in staff reports, we're in agreement with. We also would kind of ditto the economic development director's comments that with our struggle to find commercial use for this property, we think that this is a great use. As it transitions from commercial to a little higher density, maybe our neighbors that vacate someday to the west of us would be then more of a townhome product than to a single-family resident product. That's just a natural migration, and we think this is a great use. Is there any questions that I can answer?
Any questions for the applicant at this time?
Not that I've got.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I don't have anybody listed to sign in to testify. However, is there anybody else? Okay. Then. Yes, if you would. Yes. Awesome. Thank you. And if you'd just state your name and address for the record, please.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Danielle Horace. I am the Director of Strategic Partnerships at CUNA School District. My address is 711 East Porter Street, CUNA, 83634. So normally in these meetings, you get to see Robbie Reno, and so for that, I apologize you get me today. I'm here to communicate urgency and caution. I hear the ideas, and I love the ideas of balancing the community needs with growth and with high density. I also see the impact of that on our school district, which is already over capacity. So I want to let you know that we've grown a lot. Our schools have not. We have not been keeping up. What is typical for us is about a 2% growth, so we have this whole capital plan and bonds. Well, we didn't predict, as no one could, the last 3 and 4 years of growth. So I will tell you, in every single one of our schools, folks, we are busting at the seams. And I don't want to characterize, but I will tell you that bringing in apartments is going to bring in a lot of kids to districts that we already are unable to serve. So I just want to throw that out there. I know that there's ways to fix this, but I would be doing a disservice to the kids if I didn't say that there is a concern and we need to be factoring in the growth of our schools at the same rate that we bring in kids to serve so that we can continue to serve them like we have been in a high quality way. Thank you.
Okay. And then I didn't see anybody else. So is there anything the applicant would like to add to the city? Okay.
Mom's saying no.
Yeah. All right, then I'll close the...
Mark Hampton, applicant as well, again. It's our experience, and we, yes, our communities that we develop have children. There's no question. What we've also found is that the children are congregated enough that the transportation needs and the association that is created in this community is actually a benefit to the school district, not a detriment in the growth. As you can imagine, having more urban sprawl with trying to gather kids in a lot larger vicinity. So that's also need to be weighed in as well.
Thank you. Close the public testimony at 7:34. Which turns back to us again.
Mom, I did have, even before she spoke, I did see the exhibit from the school district saying that they can't really support this project because of the thing. And although it's great for transportation, it's still a big number of kids that still have to go in classrooms that may not have room. It's convenient because they're not that far away. I mean, there's elementary schools right there, middle schools right there. But as far as I remember, they're kind of packed. So I'm not sure what the plan is or what the availabilities are over there. There was no numbers that were placed within the exhibit. But outside of that concern, I think this is a great area for it. Other than the neighbors that have the fertilizer farm, but that's going to be exiting. I think the project as a whole is necessary or is needed, not necessary needed. I'm not sure what. The only question I've got maybe to the applicant is on your site plan, you've got the C1 parcel up front, which is kind of a different piece that's overlaying some of the existing facilities that were there. So are you planning to take some out and do something there?
No, actually, there's no physical vertical facilities there.
No, it's just that landscaping. Road.
Yeah, that's correct. Lines. Now, I don't know what page the existing zoning is. Mm-hmm. You have the C1, the R6. You'll notice that the R6 in that section that we're requesting to go to commercial, that is just directly south of the store, and it should naturally be commercial. Okay. That's why we're changing the R6 there to commercial for commercial. We think that one applies. And then you look in the back, we have an R6 and a C1. Those, we're trying to, this application really is cleaning up this old plat to make it more functional.
Right.
So that we're leaving that one as a commercial use for future development. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you. I think there's, with the separation of the units, from the property lines, that's kind of a lot of space for kids to run around, and there is the pool and a clubhouse that's proposed there as well. If you were going to put high-density residential somewhere, I don't know that it's not any better with dentist, doctor's offices, grocery stores, other retail, all. Mm-hmm. There with a signaled intersection and that all there. So as far as that goes, I don't see any issues with the layout or the proposed zone change for this. I think it's appropriate for that.
I'm a little worried about it. School. That's the biggest hurdle.
The last number I heard, and that's for single homes, they figure 0.6 children per household. So if you take 0.6 for an apartment, I don't know that they have anything different you're looking at.
It's 0.7 for apartments and
Okay, thank you. So you're looking at 0.7 times 192.
So roughly about 140 kids.
I agree with you guys. It's a great layout. I like that they have more parking than I think is probably required. They have the pool. It's a great spot for apartments.
So to clarify a little bit on procedural here, for the design review, we've just got landscape. We haven't been presented elevations, though. They'll have to come back for that. Okay. And same with pool and your clubhouse and such. So.
Correct. And in every application that comes in, schools have been a concern, and they continue to be. But also workforce has to be something that has to be concerned as well as the, you know, with all the, with trying to bring commercial into the city with all the rooftops that we have. And they're, people are having a huge struggle trying to staff their stores, their restaurants, the things that we're trying to bring in to help balance the tax base for the city as well, so that it's not all residential that's paying taxes out here. And I think that this, especially with this location, I think that it would, I think the pluses for the city are outweigh the minuses for it, in my opinion.
Well, I know one thing in the past, or developments have, larger developments have allotted property for possible donation to schools. Now the school district's looking for possible financial help. So is that something the applicant might be able to try to entertain a meeting with the district to see if there might be some financial fees beyond?
I don't think that's something that commission can push. That's
Andrea Nielsen. I'm going to interrupt it. Yeah, I'm going to interrupt at this point, just because your question is distinctly legal. The Idaho legislature has provided means for school districts to raise additional funds, including passing school bonds. They've explicitly excluded from the Idaho development DIFA, IDIFA, they've excluded from impact fees for zoning permits, for conditional use permits, they've excluded schools from receiving those impact fees. So there's impact fees for certain uses, but school districts are explicitly not included in the type of impact fees that would be calculated into development permits such as this. So I would just add that the Idaho legislature has provided for schools to raise funds in certain ways, and they have not provided cities such as CUNA to use the permit system to raise monetary donations for schools. That would be an impermissible and inadvisable use of the permit system, and potentially a something that could be raised on appeal. Thank you.
That's interesting. I did not realize that. So all this time that the public has thought that the impact fees that developers pay goes towards schools, it's not. Interesting. So it ends up these levies and these bonds that are presented are the only way they can raise funds, but yet that's not really voiced to the public as much as it should be.
Sounds like the school district should be a little more vocal with the public at bond time.
Yeah.
And I know they are. But that's not what we're here for today.
So I understand. So I retract my question. So, well, outside of that, I mean, I think, like you said, this is kind of a it's a prime location for it. Outside of the issue that we can't really address, then I think. I think it's a good answer to some problems that we have in the city. So in that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of 22-01-CPM, 22-03-CC, 22-02-S for the CUNA apartments with the outline or with the conditions as outlined in the staff report.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Motion carries.
And Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 22-28-DR for design review for the CUNA apartments with the conditions outlined in the staff report.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then last up on our agenda, we have under business items, it's case number 22-33-DR, design review for the East Stagecoach Industrial Flex Space.
Excuse me, from the squeaky mic. Brett, Dave, thank you very much for hanging in with us. For the record, and good evening, Chairman and Commissioners, Planner 2, Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. On behalf of the applicant, Hillside Architecture request design review approval for the development of four industrial flex space buildings, each on its individual lot, located approximately 400 feet west of the East Stagecoach and South Best Business intersection. The proposed metal buildings will range in size from 6,000 square feet to 11,600 square feet and have the potential to be separated into 2 to 5 units, and those units are dependent on the building themselves, as noted in the staff report. Overall colors and the painted wainscot are generally neutral, and each unit has an aluminum storefront with stone veneer. Proposed parking for the subject site is provided along the front of each building as well as along the East Stagecoach frontage, and the site also provides for one at-grade loading dock in the northwest corner. 3 streetlights are proposed along East Stagecoach, while the remainder of the site is to be illuminated by wall-mounted lighting on each building. Proposed landscaping along the East Stagecoach frontage offers a 5-foot sidewalk, ample plantings, along with landscape parking islands, while the remaining buffers that are required around the property are proposed to be gravel. The subject site will not be connected to pressurized irrigation. Therefore, staff supports the applicant's proposed use of drought-tolerant plantings and gravel. The site is to be accessed via 2 driveways located, designed, and constructed to ACHD and CUNA standard. The east driveway provides cross-access to the J&M Sanitation Yard on the south. And upon review, staff finds the application to be in compliance with Title V of CUNA City Code, Comprehensive Plan, and Idaho Code. Staff would recommend the Commission approve case number 22-33-DR with the conditions of approval listed in Section 8 of that report. And with that, I shall answer any questions.
Any questions for Jessica at this time?
No, I don't believe so.
No.
Okay, then the applicant would like to come forward and just name and address for the record, please.
My name is Brett Galosh. I'm with Hillside Architecture. My address is 409 South 8th Street, Suite 201, Boise, Idaho, 83702. So I see why I was placed last on the list based on Mark's previous comments. I think Jessica did a great job representing what this application is about. I stand for questions. I mean, we're in compliance, and we agree with the standard conditions of approval. And are, you know, I stand for questions if you have any.
Okay. Are there any questions for the applicant?
this time?
No, not that I can think of.
All right, thank
Actually,
you.
I think this will be a nice addition to that street. It'll clean up those weed-filled lots.
No, I think that with the other similar uses that are out there, it's just a continuing, ongoing need out there, which is good. Nice to get more businesses start up and grow out here, become a hometown businesses. So I think the buildings are appropriate for the area, the landscaping, given the irrigation restrictions. So I don't have any issues with it as presented.
Yeah, no, I think it's very useful. I think it's right in line with everything out that way and what we're trying to do. So I think it's a great addition. So no, I don't have any qualms either. So in that case, Mr. Chairman, I move we approve 22-33-DR design review for East Stagecoach Industrial Flex Space. Boy, that's a mouthful.
I'll second that one.
With the conditions outlined in the staff report.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank
you.
Thank you.
Sorry for.
Thanks for sticking in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And with that, is there anything, staff or any commissions?
Nothing. I move that we adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.